Now, we go on to a new topic. In Congress today, two controversial bills will get their 15 minutes of fame. The first is Utah Senator Orrin Hatch's proposal to amend the Constitution to allow foreign-born Americans to run for president or vice president. The second is Representative Charles Rangel's bill to reinstate the military draft. Both of these pieces of legislation have taken on mythic elements during their time on the congressional shelf. Here in the studio to talk about their very different life expectancies is NPR's Washington editor, Ron Elving. Welcome, Ron.
Thank you, Joe. Good to be here.
And if you've heard rumors about either bill and have questions about really what's really in them, give us a call at 800-989-TALK. That's 800-989-8255. Let's start with Senator Hatch's proposal to allow immigrants to become president. Now, I remember this one. I know in the first hour I talked about a two-thirds vote for Senate, and that was, for confirmation. I know that was completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure I remember the part of the Constitution that says if you want to be president, you got to be born here. Is this all come down to one word, this new proposal, Schwarzenegger?
Well, that's one word. It's a big word. It's almost a sentence in and of itself, and he is probably the best reason for Republicans to think in terms of amending the Constitution.
He's Austrian by birth.
He is Austrian by birth, but he was naturalized in the United States when he was in his mid-30s. He's now in his late 50s. And having been a United States citizen for more than 20 years, he would qualify under the bill proposed by Senator Orrin Hatch, who is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee and who held this hearing today on his own bill.
And what would Senator Hatch's proposal allow exactly? Is it a 20-year requirement, or what does he require?
This particular legislation is a 20-year requirement from the point of being naturalized as a citizen to the point where you could be elected and serve as president. Going all the way back to the Constitution being written in the 1780s, at that time, one of the leading figures in the country's politics was Alexander Hamilton, who had been born in England. And one of the theories about why this got in the Constitution was that some of his enemies wanted to block his ascent to that office. I think probably at the time, though, there was a broader fear that people who came from other countries, who had been born in England, for example, the mother country, might very well have divided loyalties. And while this requirement was not put on Congress, not put on the Supreme Court, not put on other federal offices, because the president was going to be the military supreme commander, they wanted this prohibition, if you will, of divided loyalties by birth.
So now, again, going back to constitutional law, the states can propose constitutional amendments under a certain process, or the Congress can propose. Now, this is a congressional proposal. What are the chances that Senator Hatch will actually get his bill onto the floor at the Senate?
Well, it won't happen this fall. There's no time. But the issue of immigrants having full rights to be elected president of the United States, I think is here to stay, and I think eventually will become part of the Constitution. It'll take a little time.
Well, let's hear what you think. Our number is 800-989-TALK. That's 800-989-8255. And let's go to caller number 6. Caller number 7. Marianne in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. In Michigan, we have a very popular Democratic governor, Jennifer Granholm, who was born in Canada. And I wondered how much support this bill will be getting from Democrats.
What about that, Ron?
Excellent question. And you're raising the Democrats' favorite oppositional number to Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right now, Jennifer Granholm, the very popular governor of Michigan and somebody with a very bright political future ahead of her, is frequently mentioned as the best example of why this policy is discriminatory against certain American politicians on the Democratic side. And she could not serve as president and probably not as vice president, since the vice president generally has to fulfill all the requirements of the presidency under the current rules, but she could were this amendment to be adopted. So I suspect that between people like Jennifer Granholm and people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and here's the real key point, a generation of rising American political stars who are Hispanic, who are Asian, who are from all over the world, not from Canada like Jennifer Granholm or from Europe like Arnold Schwarzenegger, are going to build increasing political pressure for this to become the constitutional law.
Well, Marianne, before I let you go, I mean, I'm not going to make you every American, but just I'm curious about your thoughts. How would you feel if the law changed? I mean, does it trouble you at all to have a foreign-born citizen leading the military, as Ron Elving suggested would be the case?
No, not at all. I actually have two children who are adopted from Korea. And it's hard for me to tell an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old that you can be anything you want except the president, even though you've lived here since you were 4 months old. Huh? I have no problem with someone who's been naturalized according to the rules and becoming the president.
Okay. Well, thank you for that thought, Marianne.
Thanks.
Oops, I'm sorry. Well, that was a little quick. But let me try to be more polite to Regina in Portland, Oregon. Regina, welcome to the program.
Hi. My question is, what are the legal implications of dual citizenship? And I would like to know how many people in Congress, the Senate, have dual citizenship?
Okay, that's an interesting question, Regina. Ron, do you know the answer to
that? To the best of my knowledge, I don't believe any of them do. I don't believe we have any dual citizens in the Senate or in the House. I could be corrected on that if someone knows better. But we have had distinguished dual citizenship people in the United States. Winston Churchill had dual citizenship. And it is certainly a special status, but it is not a typical one, and it's certainly not a typical one in our politics. And I suspect that the bill, by the time it becomes part of constitutional law at some juncture in the future, will exclude dual citizenship, that anyone who did wish to be president of the United States would have to be exclusively an American citizen.
Okay. Let's go on to this other topic that you've come along to discuss this afternoon. The Internet apparently has that great tool for rumor spreading and other things, and buying online, I guess, has been abuzz with stealthy news about a bill to renew the draft. Any truth to those rumors?
Yes and no, I would say. Let's start with no.
Okay.
This Congress has absolutely no interest in reinstating the draft. There's going to, in fact, be a vote driven by those Internet rumors that you mentioned later today. It will be overwhelmingly negative. This Congress does not want to reinstate the draft. Neither party does. But we do have a war going on, and the war is consuming a certain amount of America's not just manpower anymore, but woman power as well. And it's not just the casualties that we bring home either as people who have been killed or as wounded. It's also the people who have served up their normal time, either in the military or in the National Guard, and would normally be rotated home or be released from the military entirely. Many of those people are being forcibly re-upped. They are basically being not allowed to leave the military through the military stop-loss program. And as a result, we look a little overstressed in terms of our personnel, and there is need for more people, and recruitment is not quite meeting the goals that it was supposed to meet, and so a draft might logically be considered the next step. I don't see it happening for political reasons in the foreseeable future, but down the road, as the Iraq conflict continues indefinitely, who can say?
So why is this coming today? Is there a reason for today?
It's coming up right now because Congress is going to go home at the end of this week, and the Republican leadership of Congress really does not want these rumors rampant throughout the rest of the fall that they are somehow sneakily, in some stealthy way, going to bring in the dark of night a bill that reinstates the draft when no one is looking and takes effect suddenly next year.
Okay, let's hear what our callers have to say about this. Why don't we go to Michael in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Okay, what's your question?
I just have a comment, actually. I have a friend who works for Senator Carl Levin, who's the ranking Democratic member of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate. And I read about this bill on the Internet a few months ago, and I had asked him about it. And he told me that this bill really doesn't have any sort of support, at least in the Senate. He said that there are no co-signers, and it seems like this is just basically a propaganda fad on the Internet. It doesn't seem like it has any real support. So I'm wondering what is the cause of, where are these rumors coming from, basically?
Well,
who's propagating this?
To begin with who put the bills in the first place. They were put in by Democrats, people like Charlie Rangel from New York and Fritz Hollings from South Carolina, who wanted to, frankly, embarrass the Bush administration by saying, if we're going to fight these wars, we should have a draft and not an all-volunteer army, because the all-volunteer army is drawn perforce from the lower income groups of the society. We should have a more egalitarian military, as we did, in fact, when we had a draft, particularly during World War II. So if that's the preferred way for a democracy to fight a war that the democracy actually supports, well, that's the purpose of the bill, to make that rhetorical point. Of course, the administration opposed the bills right from the beginning. So did the leadership of both parties. There really is no constituency for the bills. They're there to make a rhetorical point. But then the internet rumors began that this was somehow some nefarious plot by the Bush administration.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's try for one more call. Let's see if I've done this properly today. I'm having trouble with the buttons. Robert in Augusta, Georgia. Did I get you?
Yes.
Okay, thanks very much. Robert, what's your question?
Yeah, my comment is that I think that the draft will be reinstated after the election, given the situation in Iraq. I think it's almost inevitable that because of the lack of manned force in the war, that the draft will be reinstated. My other comment is that I wanted to. I actually was calling regarding the statement about being a citizen for the presidency.
Okay.
I think that it is important that this is a country of laws and rules, and I don't think that we should diverge from the law of, yes, you do have to be a citizen in order to become a president. One of the things that would possibly could happen is, what if we are having a war with Korea and there's a Korean president, or a Russia and there's a Russian president? How does that put the United States, the American United States, in a position to defend themselves? Because surely, if I'm born from the United States and I'm the president of Russia, I have some consequences and consideration about doing the right thing against Russia.
Okay, Robert, thank you for that. Ron, any thoughts?
I do think that we will always require that the presidential candidate be a citizen and be somebody who has, through at least 20 years, as the current bill proposes, demonstrated a singular loyalty to the United States. Remember, the president always needs to get elected. And if there were an occasion where a candidate for president, having been born in another country, seemed to have questionable loyalty, I doubt very much that person could even get the nomination of either party or any party.
Okay. Well, we'll have to leave that discussion there for the moment and see how it plays out in Congress, maybe on the Internet. Probably not going to know for sure till next year, though. Thanks for joining us, Ron.
My pleasure, Joe.
Ron Elving is NPR's Washington editor. He joined us from Studio 2 in Studio 3A this afternoon. And now a note in closing. We say goodbye today to our director, Chad Campbell. Let me give you a sense of what this show would sound like without Chad. Who's on line three? Wait a minute, are we done yet? What's hold on. Okay, I can't hear this person. What's going on here? I don't know what. Oh yeah, okay, I got. All right, something like that. Maybe it sounds like that anyway, but it really is a director. Chad is the one who holds the show together, getting the right guest on at the right time, coping with the inevitable technical disasters that afflict a live show, and doing it with grace and good humor. Now, I'm just the temp here, but I know I speak for Neil Conan and the rest of the staff when I say, we'll miss you, Chad, and we wish you all the best in your new endeavor in the exciting waters of satellite radio. And I know I almost gave him heart failure by launching into this with more time left in the show than we typically have at the end, but that was our way of saying goodbye, and thank you very much. You've been listening to Talk of the Nation. I'm Joe Palca in Washington.